is in line with them. And I want to disappoint you a little bit. That the fact that you own those things doesn't mean that you are in line with the purpose of God in your life. Amen? Sometimes you can flourish in a business. You can live a good life. You can live a life of no stress. But that doesn't guarantee that you are living a purpose-filled life. The only thing that will assure you that you're living a purpose-filled life is when you get to do what He's called you to do. And how, by the way, do we know if we are living the purpose of God in our life? I thought about that, and I look at it, Ephesians chapter 1. And I say, why am I living here on earth? Why did God create me? In Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 11 to 12, it says that in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him. And if your version has that word plan, I want you to underscore it. It says you were predestined, you were chosen according to His plan, not your plan. Amen? So God called me out of darkness and brought me to Himself. He chose me, He predestined me for His purpose, not for mine. He called me out of darkness because He wanted to use me. He called me out of darkness because He had a plan for me. But what is that plan? He said He predestined us according to the plan of Him who worked out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. It's sometimes hard to separate what's God, what's me, and what's the devil. And we get so often confused with those three. Sometimes we think because I am the director for Salvation Army, that is where God wants me to be. Sometimes we think because I'm a medical doctor, that's where God wants me to be. Sometimes we even think that because I'm a pastor, that's where God wants me to be. Hello? Yeah, that one will be shocking a little bit. It says that He chose us, He predestined us in conformity with the purpose of His will, not my will. When I was growing up in Africa, in Cameroon, Pastor Ted has been to Cameroon and he has passed through some police checkpoints where there is a lot of bribery. So every little child growing up in Cameroon has this desire to become a police officer because when they stand on the street, they're going to collect some bribes. And so growing up, I had this desire to be a police officer, but my desire to become a police officer or a lawyer was so that I can help those that cannot help themselves. I was out to fight for justice. That was my desire. But I want to announce to you that plan wasn't aligned with the plan of God. And when I was growing up, I did all I could do to get enrolled in the police academy. I succeeded. My name came out. But the final list came out and God took it out. Because it wasn't the plan of God. It was my plan. It was my desire. It was my wish. But it wasn't the plan of God. It wasn't His. And it's that same year that I resisted the call to go to the seminary. And God finally arrested me. The purpose of God in your life must be kingdom bound. The calling of God in your life, the will of God in your life must be kingdom bound. So if you are pursuing a career and it's not kingdom bound, then I want you to stop and think about it again. Is God actually calling you to be a nurse? Is God actually calling you to be a professor? Is God actually calling you to be a teacher? And the sad news is that there are many people that are roaming the streets today with a missed purpose in life. There are many people that are sitting in offices that God is saying, that's not where I want you to be. There are many people that are sitting home and God is saying, I have put in you potentials that I want to use you. And I hear, it's only when I got to America that I hear that they are stay-home moms. Is that the right word? Some moms that stay home and take care of children. That might be the purpose of God in your life, but I want you to be sure that that is exactly what He wants you to do and where He wants you to be. I play a lot with my children and I ask them, what do you want to become? Which Pastor Ted doesn't like. And they kept saying, my son kept saying he wants to become an ambulance. He doesn't just want to become a paramedic, he wants to become an ambulance. I don't know where he got that from, but he wants to be the ambulance that would transport people to the hospital. But I can hear his heart. He wants to save lives. But I can only end there. I can only pray with him. I can only encourage him to make sure that what God is calling him to do is what he is doing, not what I will impose on him to do. So what is the purpose of God? What is the calling of God in my life? In that Ephesians, it says, the purpose for which everything is in purpose of his will is that in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And the word glory is what kept me thinking. That those of us who were the first to hope and put our hope in Christ, that all our being, all we do in this life, will be for the praise of his glory. So let me ask you, is the job you are doing right now bringing glory to God? Is it for the purpose of bringing glory to God? The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, it gives me a clue of what brings maximum glory to God. What brings maximum glory to God, the Bible says, is when one sinner repents. And you know what happens? When one sinner repents, it said there is joy in heaven. There is joy in heaven. There's celebration in heaven over a single soul that repents. That helps me to understand that what brings maximum glory to the God that created me and called me out of darkness into his light is when I seek to set the lost free. Amen? So whatever you are doing, you have to be sure that it is bringing glory to God. And what brings glory to God? A single soul that repents. Heaven gets together and there is feasting, there's celebration. Because of one single person. And guess what? God is looking at all these 7.7 billion people and he is saying not all of them are saved. Therefore, in your office, you have a purpose. In your job, in your school, you have a purpose. Wherever you are found, God is calling you to make heaven rejoice. That is your purpose in life. God wants you to bring joy in heaven. And how you do that? He makes it clear that his desire is that no one should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. God's desire is that no one should perish. And I look at God and I say, yeah, there are more than 7.7 billion people living. And how many actually know God? And he is saying, don't go far. Don't go to the Muslim world. I want you to look right in Hamilton. They are people that are not saved. And he's saying, my purpose. He's saying, your calling. If you are cleaning a hospital, if you are a cook, if you are a cashier, your purpose is to bring maximum glory to God by telling those people who have not yet come to his saving knowledge that Jesus is the way. He makes it clear that his desire, and his desire is what he wants us to carry around. His desire is that no single person in this valley should perish. No single person in your family should perish. No single person in this nation should perish. if we don't wake up to that purpose, if we don't wake up to that calling, what is going to happen? These people will perish. In Ephesians this morning in our Sunday school class, we say, make use of every opportunity. And every day, God is opening a door for you, and he's saying, this is where I want you to fulfill your purpose. The purpose for you living is to bring me glory. The purpose for you living is not to build a nice and beautiful home where you can sleep and go swimming and go hunting. I know you Montanans, they love hunting. But even as you go hunting, let it be for the glory of God. Amen? Even if you go shopping in the mall, which I don't do, I would never. Let it be for the glory of God. Even if you go shopping for things that you do not need, but because you want them, that's a problem. Whatever you do, let it be for the glory of God. Do you have a purpose in life? We define purpose in life as making money, living a rich life, living a comfortable life. That is what I hear people define as purpose. But the purpose for God, the purpose of God for your life is that you should bring him glory. Bring him glory. And that is why sometimes I always want to be careful that if I am accepting a job, that job should be what God, the job that God wants me to do. It shouldn't be about me. It shouldn't be about me making a lot of money. It's your purpose. Kingdom bound. Or is your purpose worldly bound? Many people are discouraged because they believe that they have lost their purpose in life. They believe they have no reason to live. And that is a lie from the enemy. I want to announce to you this morning that when the children of Israel were taken into captivity into Babylon, because of their iniquity, by the way, because of their rebellion, they were taken into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar took them into captivity. And the children of Israel, every day, they went through a lot of torment. They went through a lot of pain. And they were praying. They were praying for that day to come when God would say, it's time to go home. They sought the face of the Lord. And Prophet Jeremiah came to them and gave them a heartbreaking message. Jeremiah chapter 29. They were expecting something else, but God gave them something else. They were expecting to hear God say, I want to take you home. And God came to them and announced to them, you have 70 more years to live in captivity. How many of you are 70 here? So you're in captivity and you're praying every day that God, take me home. And God comes around and he says, you have 70 more years. And what God told him in that process, God said, I want you to pray for the prosperity of the land where you are. It doesn't sound right. Let's get to that process. Jeremiah chapter 29. This is one of the passages in the Bible that is misinterpreted a lot. We use this passage to seek refuge. We use this passage when we need something from God. But I want you to stay with the context. The context is the children of Israel were praying, begging God to take them home. And God comes around and says, you have more 70 more years. Verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. When 70 more years are completed. And then verse 11 is where we don't always read verse 4 right through 10. We always start from 11 and we end at 11 because we're looking for the comforting zone. And it says in verse 11, after he promised them that you have more years to stay in that captivity, then I will come to you and fulfill my purpose. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Amen. Stay with that context. That you are going through trials. You're going through a moment where you think that there is no purpose for your life. You're going through a challenging situation. You are suffering. You're going through an illness. And you are begging God to take you out of that situation. And he's saying that I want you to stay there for a little longer. And I want you to pray. So the purpose can never be defined by what you go through. Amen? If you think that God is good when things are fine and that he's an evil God when things are not fine, then you need to step back again and rethink about your purpose. So God is good all the times, amen? And it comes to these people who are suffering under the hands of an evil king, King Nebuchadnezzar. You can read the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He comes to them and says, 70 more years. But when the 70 years are over, he says, I will come and fulfill my promise in you. And what is the promise? I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you, says Pastor Ted. I know the plans I have for you, says your spouse. I know the plans I have for you. This is not me saying it, it's God. Amen? And that should give you hope that even though in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that frustration, God is saying, I know the plans I have for you. He did not say, you know those plans. He said, he knows those plans. So how do I get to know the purpose, the plans, the will, and the calling of God in my life? He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Prosperity preachers, they love this. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I'm here this morning to announce to you that no matter how many wasted years you can count, there is still hope for you to get in the line of God's will. There is still hope for you to get in and say, God, I want to fulfill the purpose for which you created me. I want to live the life for which you created me to live. I want to accept my calling. And you can do that right here today. You can say, God, the purpose for which you created me, I have not grasped it. And I want to know that purpose. Again, that purpose is to bring him glory. In everything you do. I know the plans I have for you. And for you to know the plans that God has for you, I want to take you to John chapter 15. This is how you get to know what the plan of God is for you. John chapter 15, from verse number 1 to 4. We've been in this passage so many times. And I think Cornerstone Christians can memorize it. They can dream and wake up and they say it. But this is how you get to know, to discover the purpose of God, the plans of God, the will of God for you. You see, I am the true vine and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Why, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4 is the key. Abide, some version says, remain. Remain in me as I also remain in you, because you will not know the purpose for which you were created until you remain, you abide. Not once, but daily. Daily abiding in God. It said no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. abiding in God is the key to discovering the purpose for which he created you for. And in Romans chapter 12, which is another familiar passage, it says, I beg you, I beseech you, in view of God's mercy, to present your body as a living sacrifice. Paul is begging us. Paul is calling on us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, because this body is not mine, but it is the temple of God. And verse 2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, if your Bible doesn't have that word then, that is the result. That then introduces the result of offering your body as a living sacrifice. It said, then you will be able to test and approve what God's purpose, the version says God's will, but what God's purpose is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen? So how do you get to know the purpose of God in your life? It's when you daily offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. It's when you daily refuse to conform to the pattern of this world. It's when you daily transform your mind by the renewing of your mind. When you do these things, it said, then you will be able to test and know the will of God. And it says, this will is good. It's pleasing, it's perfect. Do you have a purpose for living? Is your life just all about moving around and do whatever you find that you can do? God has an assignment for you, and it's unique. It is just for you. He has a purpose. He created you for a reason. And I want to invite you today to wake up to God's purpose for your life. Don't chase around the bush. Don't do things because you feel like you have to do them. Don't want to go get trained as a medical doctor because you think there is a lot of money there. Pursue the purpose of God for your life. I want to invite the worship team as they come up. I want to invite you, maybe you're the only person that God is saying, come to me. Maybe you've missed the purpose. You've missed the calling of God in your life. And he is saying this morning, I want to redirect you. Do you feel discouraged because you're confused about what is going on with your life? Come to God, and he will direct you. The song we're about to sing, the title is No Longer Slave to Fear. You might be working in an office, but you are a slave in that office because that's not where God wants you to be. You might be doing something and God is saying you are a slave because that's not where I want you to be. So I want us to go to God in prayer before they sing. If God is calling on you this morning, you might be just one person that you need to wake up. Maybe you are awake, but you're not doing enough. I just want to invite you to leave your seat and come up front here, and we're going to pray together. You want to find the purpose of God for your life. I will invite you to just come forward here, and we pray together. we invite you to stand up as we do the closing. And again, if God is inviting you, God is calling you to come to Him this morning, do not resist. So I invite Pastor Ted as we do the closing to close the service today for us.